So we're picking up this Sunday with our Gospel According to Disney sermon series. We took a bit of a break for those of you who were here last Sunday. Got a hot mic this morning. For those of you who are on the retreat, we talked about The Incredibles, but not here at church last Sunday. And the Sunday before, we talked about Mary Poppins, and today we turn to the movie Beauty and the Beast. Now, as we do this, we're looking at the magic of Disney and how it can show us, give a window to us into God's amazing love in our own lives. Now, we watched the movie Beauty and the Beast last night here at church at 6 o'clock, so every Saturday beforehand we're doing that if you're interested in coming out and seeing the movies for the next 3 weeks. In Sunday school this morning, my class talked a little bit about Beauty and the Beast and all the different themes. We could have talked about not judging people by the outside, but that what's on the inside matters, or as one person phrased it, don't be a jerk to other people. But that's not the theme we're looking at this morning. Jerk was actually a nice word compared to what was said in Sunday school. But the theme we're looking at this morning is self-giving love, giving of ourselves in love. So to start off, I want you to think about, has your life ever been in the hands of someone else? Has your life ever been in somebody else's hands? Mine has, multiple times. The time that comes to my mind the most is when I was in college. I had to have an emergency appendectomy. I could have died with this appendix infection, appendicitis, and was rushed to the hospital and had surgery and was okay afterwards. I think about my daughter, Becca, who was born extremely prematurely, weighed less than a pound when she was born. And her life was so much in the hands of so many different people, doctors and nurses and all kinds of folks who cared for her. I recently saw the movie Sully. Anybody see that movie? You remember the event several years ago where Captain Sully Sullenberger landed that plane on the Hudson River, saving the lives of everyone on board. Sometimes our lives are in the hands of those who have particular knowledge or skill or expertise about something, right? But sometimes our lives...
I can't connect at the moment. Try again in a little bit.
Yeah. Sometimes our lives are in the hands of others, not because of their expertise or their knowledge, but simply out of their sense of kindness and generosity to us. Right? I mean, sometimes our livelihood can be dependent on someone else who's willing to share the limelight or share the credit for something else. Sometimes we are in a place where we need something. We need money or food or whatever it might be, and we're dependent on the kindness of others to provide that for us. Sometimes that's where our life is, dependent on others. There's a story in that the original Chicken Soup for the Soul book about two siblings, two young children, a boy and a girl, and I think it's the girl who has this disease, and her brother has already had it, and he has the antibodies in his blood to cure her from this disease. And so his parents come to him and say, you know, our son, would you be willing to give your blood to your sister, a transfusion, to save her life? And he stops and he thinks about it for a while. You can see his things are kind of working in his head, and he's wrestling with whether to do this or not, and he agrees to. So they go to the doctor, and he sits down, and they start taking his blood out to give to his sister to save her life. And after a few moments, he turns and he asks the adults there, so when am I going to die? He's willing to sacrifice his very self, his life, for his sister that he loves. He doesn't quite understand exactly all that's going on, that it's not going to steal his life away, but it's just giving a little bit of blood to save her life. This happens in the... Are we good on the movie? Still working on it? I'll come and do that then. Technology. Fantastic, right? All right, there we go. So this idea of self-giving love is portrayed in the movie Beauty and the Beast. Now, when the movie starts off, we have a little prologue that kind of introduces us to the plot and what's going on. The beast is not a beast at this point. He is a prince, a handsome prince. And an old lady comes to his castle seeking shelter for the night. And all she has to offer him is a rose. And she's haggard and old and ugly looking. And he turns her away. and says, no, that, you know, that rose can't pay for your stay here. He turns her away. Turns out that she is an enchantress, and so she casts a spell on him and turns him into this ugly, hideous beast until he can learn to love someone else and be loved by them. We fast forward several years into the future, and we meet the heroine of the story, Belle, the beauty. And she's growing up in this quiet village that she doesn't like very much. She doesn't quite fit in, and she longs for something more, something different in her life. Her father is an inventor, and he's invented this machine, and he goes to take it to a fair to sell it and show it off so that they can earn some money. And on the way, he gets lost in the middle of the night, and wolves chase him, and he happens upon this same castle that belonged to the prince. And he's captured by who was once the prince, but now this hideous beast, and he's thrown into a dungeon. Well, his horse comes back, and Belle finds it the next day and is worried about her father, and so goes in search of him. She doesn't know what has happened, but she comes upon this castle and realizes that he's inside, and so she goes in to try to rescue him, to find out what's going on, and so we see now what happens there.
Papa? Hello? Is someone here? Wait, I'm looking for my father. That's funny. I'm sure there was someone. Is anyone here?
Who?
Papa!
How did you find me?
Oh, your hands are like ice. We have to get you out of there.
Bill, I want you to leave this place.
Who's done this to you?
No time to explain. You must go, now.
I won't leave you.
What are you doing here?
Who's there? Who are you?
The master of this castle.
I've come for my father. Please, let him out. Can't you see he's sick?
Then he shouldn't have trespassed here.
But he could die. Please, I'll do anything.
There's nothing you can do. He's my prisoner.
Oh, there must be some way I can... Wait! Take me instead.
You would take his place?
Belle, no! You don't know what you're doing!
If I did, would you let him go?
Yes. But you must promise to stay here forever.
Come into the light.
You do this!
You have my word.
Done!
No, Belle, listen to me. I'm old. I've lived my life.
Wait!
Belle!
Wait!
No, please spare my daughter. Please!
She's no longer your concern. Oh. Take him to the village.
Let me out! Please let me out!
I hope you noticed in that clip the beast's face when Belle offers to take her father's place. It's changed. He's just shocked by that act of love, that she would love him so much that she would take his place, that she would be willing to be his prisoner for so long. Well, Belle is indeed a prisoner for a while. She gets to know the beast a little bit. The beast tries to be nice to her, and he's trying to figure out how to be kind and not so angry. We'll get to that in just a second. But she gets kind of fed up with things and decides to run away, and she runs out into the wilderness again, into the forest, and the wolves who chased her father are there, and so they chase her as well. But the beast hops in and saves her. He fights the wolves and scares them off, but he is injured in the process. And so Belle takes him back to the castle, and as she cares for him and nurses him back to health, a relationship begins to form between Belle and the beast. A lot of the barriers are broken down, and they begin to indeed fall in love with one another. But the beast is always reminded of this curse that's upon him. This rose that the enchantress gave him is wilting, and as soon as the last petal falls off, well, unless he's fallen in love and someone has fallen in love with him, unless they have learned to love then he will stay as a beast forever. They have one magical evening together, and then we'll see what happens.
Time. Tune as old as song. Bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong. Certain as the sun, rising in the east, tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
Off to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime. Good night, love.
Be here with me?
Yes.
What is it?
If only I could see my father again, just for a moment. I miss him so much.
There is a way. This mirror will show you anything. Anything you wish to see.
I'd like to see my father, please. Papa! No. He's sick. He may be dying, and he's all alone.
Then you must go to him.
What did you say?
I release you. You're no longer my prisoner.
You mean I'm free?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Hold on, Papa. I'm on my way.
Take it with you, so you'll always have a way to look back and remember me.
Thank you for understanding how much he needs me.
So in this clip, it is just a few hours until the last petal of the rose falls off. This beast is down to his last chance to not be a beast forever, but to turn back into a human being, and he willingly sacrifices that because he loves Belle, because he knows how much her father means to her and wants to make sure her father is okay. Two acts of self-giving love in this story. Belle taking her father's place as a prisoner. The beast giving up becoming human because of his love for Belle. Now, of course, this is a Disney movie, so it all turns out well. Belle rescues her father and then goes back to town, and then the villagers find out of the beast. They come and try to kill the beast, and Belle comes and saves the day, and they're united, and they kiss, and they live happily ever after, and everything's great. You know, it's a Disney movie. But self-giving love, both on the part of Belle, the beauty, and the beast. Jesus talks about this same kind of self-giving love in our passage today. He says that greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for one's friends. I think usually when we hear this passage, this teaching, we think that it means giving our actual life, dying for someone else. And certainly that can be the case, but is much more often in our everyday life, it's not sacrificing our very life for someone else, but it is sacrificing for others. It's giving of ourself because of our love for someone else. Let me offer a few illustrations. It's one thing to have clothes that you don't need anymore and to donate those to a clothing closet. That doesn't cost you very much. It's another to give someone the very coat off of your back, a coat that you wear, a coat that you need because they are cold. It's one thing to give whatever money you have left over at the end of the month to church or to charity. It's another to tithe, to give 10% off the top, right at the beginning, regardless of what sacrifices you might have to make during that month. Self-giving love involves self-denial. It involves deprivation. It involves sacrifice. It costs you something. And that's the kind of love that Jesus lifts up as the highest and most important and valuable kind of love. Love that gives of our very self. And we rehearse this kind of love every week in worship. Every week we're reminded that we are forgiven because Christ gave his life for us. Christ gave of God's self for us out of love. The prayer we say after communion talks about how it is a gift that God gives to us. And then we are inspired to go into the world and give ourselves for others. This idea of self-giving love lies at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It's at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. It's at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. To give of ourselves out of love. Now, sometimes people take this idea and kind of get a wrong idea about it. Some people think that this idea is about squashing ourselves and devaluing ourselves and saying that we have no importance but that other people are important. But that's not what self-giving love is about. Self-giving love is about recognizing the intrinsic value that each of us has and willingly sacrificing and giving of ourselves for others. It's not about putting ourselves down. But it's about loving others through ourselves and what we have. So, in the movie, Belle, she's not saying, I'm not worth anything, that's why I'm going to become your prisoner. No, she knows that her life is valuable, and she loves her father so much that she would take his very place. The Beast doesn't say, oh, I'm not worthy of becoming a human again. I'm just an animal. No. He knows that this is his longing and his dream and something that he's worked for and hopes for. But he loves Belle so much that he's willing to give that up. In the same way, God loves each and every one of us so much that God would come in the form of Jesus Christ and offer God's very self for us. Not because God isn't worth anything and Jesus isn't worth anything, but because we are so loved and adored and cherished by God. That is what self-giving love looks like. To be willing to sacrifice who we are and what we have for the benefit of others. And so, friends, may we accept this day that we are loved so much that God would sacrifice God's very self for us. And may we be inspired to do the same, to follow in the footsteps of Belle and the Beast, and even more in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, to lay down our lives, to sacrifice our needs and wants and desires because we love others. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.